Welcome to the Sports Law Biz Podcast, dedicated to helping people better understand the law and business of sports. I'm your host, Peter Ott, and we've got a lot to talk about here today, so why don't we just jump in? Hello, this is Peter Ott with the Sports Law Biz Podcast. I'm here today with David Teal, an award-winning columnist for the Daily Press, a newspaper that covers the Hampton Roads metro area of Virginia. He was inducted into the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame in April 2014. He's been writing for the Daily Press since 1984 and has covered the Atlantic Coast Conference, dozens of college bowl games, 25 NCAA Final Fours, Super Bowl 43, U.S. Open Golf, the 1996 Summer Olympics, and more. So he's had a wide-ranging experience, and it's a privilege to have him here today. To start off, Mr. Teal, can you introduce yourself, tell us anything else that you think would be interesting for our listeners?
Well, I don't know if I'm very interesting, Peter, but as you might suspect of someone who's been at his job since 1984, I'm not very young. I'm a 1981 graduate of James Madison from just up the road from Charlottesville. I'm married, have a four-year-old daughter, and my wife is the best athlete in the family.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I'm not much of an athlete either, but I appreciate being able to cover it, and so it sounds like you've had a great experience doing that.
Absolutely, it's a great job if you enjoy sports, and couldn't have asked for anything more out of a career.
Okay, well, great. We're here today to talk about an article you wrote about the University of Virginia's new 10-year extension of their deal with Nike. I'm an alumnus of UVA Law, so when I came across this article that you wrote back in August, it sparked my interest. But I think it's interesting to everybody because it's emblematic of the types of deals happening in college and between colleges and athletic apparel companies across the nation. To start off, can you provide us with a sort of baseline overview of the history of UVA's agreements with Nike or other past apparel companies?
Well, if depending on how far you want to go back, Peter, it used to be that individual coaches negotiated what were then known as shoe deals with companies. You might have your football coach affiliated with Nike. Back in the day when Terry Holland was the basketball coach at UVA, he was affiliated for a while with Puma. But as these contracts and arrangements began to evolve, schools took them in-house and made them athletic department-wide agreements. The money didn't go to the coaches. It came to the athletic department. Not that coaches are underpaid by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But now you see these overarching deals. And, you know, Virginia had a previous 8-year contract with Nike, and then very quietly this spring, it wasn't set to expire until 2016, but these contracts are usually renegotiated well in advance of their expiration. And Virginia very stealthily back in April agreed to a new deal with Nike.
Okay. Well, great. And just as far as a timeline, I know you said in the past coaches directly negotiated these. Do you know just generally, is that in the past, are we talking about the 60s? Or are we talking about the 1920s? I mean, how far back do these kind of arrangements go?
Oh, no, not that far. This became kind of a phenomenon in the 80s and became very much very newsworthy. One of the great pioneers of this was a man named Sonny Vaccaro, who just was very invested. He was originally with Nike and then went to Adidas. He saw the value, especially in grassroots basketball and getting involved with young people and from a marketing standpoint. And so that's pretty much the history of it. It's more kind of the last generation, so to speak.
Okay, yeah, and it certainly snowballed from there. I think anybody who attends a school knows whether it's a Nike school or an Under Armour school or Adidas or whatever.
Oh, plenty of signage. They don't leave much to the imagination now.
Right. Okay, well, let's get into the meat of the most recent extension, this 10-year extension. Can you just provide us with an overview of the, the terms of that deal?
Sure. Well, it more than doubles the value to Virginia in terms of apparel and straight out cash. It's worth a minimum of $35 million, which is an easy math problem. That's about $3.5 million a year. That includes a $2 million signing bonus, which you usually associate with athletes, but no, the school received a signing bonus.
And just to be clear, the money is coming from the apparel company to the school, and in return the school just wears that company's clothing. Is that how it works?
Yes. And that clothing is provided of course free of charge, and that's not inconsiderable. And you know, 500,000 cash each year and 2.5 million in apparel for the first three, and it escalates to where the final year of the deal it would be up to 3.25 million in apparel.
Okay. And you said this one was agreed to before the prior one extended. Sorry, before the prior one ended. And I know this is a 10-year deal. Is that kind of routine that these deals kind of look outdated by the time you get to the end of them? So schools are eager to change them.
Yeah, I think both schools and the apparel company themselves they don't want to let it come down to the last minute, and so they often begin the negotiations well in advance of the expiration.
Okay, and what do you think about this particular deal that's notable to talk about?
I think it's very fair. I think Virginia is clearly an athletic department with broad-based success. If you just look at this past year with three national championships and six ACC championships and a top 10 finish in the All Sports Directors Cup standing. I mean, it was just a benchmark 2014-15 for the Cavaliers, and I think Nike sees value in that. Tony Bennett's basketball program is, you know, by far the highest profile, but it's just a very well-rounded athletic department with, you know, with an obvious football problem, and they're working to address that.
Right, and so I know a lot of fans, when they think about college sports, they think predominantly or even completely about college football and men's basketball, maybe men's or women's basketball, but you think the broad base that UVA has in these other sports like soccer and lacrosse and baseball, that well-rounded group of athletics provides a different kind of incentive for Nike?
Yeah, I believe it does, although, you know, let's be clear, Nike does not provide Virginia baseball with its gear. Virginia has a separate contract with Rawlings. Virginia has a separate contract with Gate for men's lacrosse. And those deals, you know, they carry some worth. Since the publication of that article, I was able to access just through Open Records the Rawlings contract is worth $200,000 a year in cash plus apparel, and the Gate deal is worth approximately $200,000 a year in cash plus apparel. So Virginia is collecting some coin from more than one outfit.
And is that typical that schools have multiple companies that they have deals with?
It really is not. It's atypical, and most of these contracts that you see are all encompassing.
Okay. Well, great. Do you want to talk about Under Armour?
I think Under Armour is a fascinating dynamic here. I think you could say it's trending upward. It's very popular these days. You saw golfer Jordan Spieth as he won the Masters in U.S. Open. The Under Armour logo was on everything. Except I don't think he has any tattoos, but if he did, it would probably be the UA logo.
Uh-huh.
And the Under Armour executive, who signed Jordan Spieth, is a former Virginia football player, Ryan Keel, and he is also on the board of the Virginia Athletics Foundation. And surely Under Armour was interested in prying UVA away from Nike, which I have to believe gave Virginia some leverage in its negotiations with Nike.
Uh-huh. And the fact that this negotiation was kind of under the radar and it was done quietly, do you think that was an attempt by Nike to try and get it done quickly so that the market didn't grow, or do you think that was just, you know, Under Armour was involved in trying to be a competitive bidder in that case anyway, just because it's a perpetual kind of thing?
I think the secretive nature of this was driven more by the university, and
okay.
I'm not precisely sure why, because you know back when they signed the previous deal, they posted a story on the UVA Athletics website, complete with comments and the terms. Other schools have press conferences to announce these deals, but nary a Virginia official has commented on this. Now, does that have anything to do, you know, with the fact that the athletic department is trying to raise a bunch of money for a football support facility and doesn't want donors to think with this new Nike deal that it's suddenly flush and doesn't need their checks? I'm not sure, but it was very curious to me just how under the radar this was.
Yeah, it does seem like the school would be interested in announcing it, and definitely the company would be happy to you know, get its name out there in another chance. So that does seem a little strange that in this case they focused on keeping it under wraps a bit. Okay, well, just to kind of wrap this up, I know you've reported on a lot of ACC schools and other schools. How does this deal compare to other ones that you've seen in recent years?
Well, it's certainly not the largest, and nor is it the smallest. I mean, the mega deal that got so much attention this year was when Michigan switched from Adidas to Nike for an estimated $169 million over 15 years, which if you average it out is about $11.3 million a year. And then Under Armour struck a big deal in the last year or two with Notre Dame, and that contract was valued by ESPN. Notre Dame being a private school, you know, us prime newspaper types are not privy to it. But it was valued at $90 million over 10 years. So that, you know, so that's $10 million a year. So clearly Virginia is not in that range. But when you compare it to, say, you know, Virginia Tech's deal is worth a little less than $2 million a year with Nike. But Florida State's is worth about $5 million. North Carolina's, which will be up for renegotiation here soon, is worth about $3.75 million a year. So I think Virginia cut a very, very shrewd contract here.
Well, great. Yeah, thanks for taking the time out of your day to record this podcast. I think it's been an interesting discussion. It'll be interesting to look back at this in 10 years and see what we're saying about it then.
Oh, with all the changes happening. Yeah, I'm sure by then they'll have a new one in place, and the landscape will be very different.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else you want to say on the topic before we wrap it up?
I don't think so, Peter.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's been great having you on the podcast today. We'll look to your work in the daily press, and it's been great talking to you.
Thank you, sir. My pleasure.
This has been an episode of the Sports Law Biz podcast. This podcast is available through the Sports Law Biz website or through iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Before wrapping things up, I'd like to thank some people. First of all, I'd like to thank my friend Lieb Montoya for designing the Sports Law Biz podcast logo as well as the Sports Law Biz blog logo. His artistic ability certainly surpasses mine. If interested, you can check out more of Lieb's work on Instagram and Twitter. His handle is @LiebMontoya in both places. That's @LIBMontoya. Additionally, I'd like to thank the musical artist for providing this theme music that you're listening to right now. The artist is a band called The Losers. The album is entitled Young, Tough, Terrible. The track is Sports with an exclamation point. The label is Needle Drop Co. This music is available through a Creative Commons license of Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported. This podcast was produced and recorded by myself, Peter Ott, and you can reach me at my personal Twitter handle, @PeterJOTT. through the Sports Law Biz Twitter handle at Sports Law Biz, or through email at sportslawbizblog@gmail.com. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you are interested in contributing to either the Sports Law Biz blog or podcast, definitely reach out to me. I love to talk to people about these issues, and I know I can use all the help I can get. Finally, I'd like to thank you for listening to this podcast. Hopefully it was enjoyable. If so, please spread the word and let your friends and colleagues know about it. Leave a review on iTunes. Any way you can spread the news about this podcast would be greatly appreciated. That's our episode today. Tune in next time to learn more about the law and business of sports. I'm looking forward to discussing it with you on the Sports Law Biz podcast.